Before the beginning of World War II, before Poland had been invaded by the German army, there was a nun in Krakow by the name of Sister Faustina. And Sister Faustina had been experiencing appearances of the Lord Jesus. And he had been giving her messages. She was keeping track of those messages in a diary. And the main thrust, it seems, of what Jesus wanted her to do was to proclaim to the world the greatness of the mercy of God. One of the requests of Jesus to her was this image here of the divine mercy, with the red rays and the white rays coming forth from his heart. The red rays symbolizing the blood of the Eucharist, the white rays, the waters of baptism. But then the phrase at the bottom, Jesus, I trust in you. He wanted that painted and made available to the world so that we could grow in trust of his mercy and his desire to extend mercy to all the world. He also requested that the Sunday after Easter be proclaimed Divine Mercy Sunday. And that was done by Pope John Paul II, just shortly after the canonization of Sister Faustina. She also was given the Divine Mercy Chaplet as something to be spread throughout the world. John Paul II was very much touched by the message that came from Sister Faustina, and he saw it as one of his divinely appointed missions to spread that message of mercy to the world around him. And that is what he did. I would like to focus today, as I go on, on the gospel reading for today. It's that gospel about Thomas who doubted and had to be able to touch the nail marks and the wound in the side of Jesus to believe that he was really risen. Imagine the scene on that first Easter Sunday evening. A group of very frightened disciples, because it was known that they had been followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had been crucified. And so they were locked behind closed doors, afraid that the Jewish authorities would find them also. And probably they were feeling some shame and some guilt. They had abandoned Jesus on Good Friday. And yet suddenly in that room, locked as it was, stood the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they were expecting any words of reproach, they got just the opposite. Peace be with you. In the language of Jesus, shalom. Shalom meant more than peace does for us. It was a wish for all that is good, all that is well, all that makes life fulfilling and meaningful. And then Jesus, it says, breathed on them. It said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now there's another time in the Bible when it says that God breathed on someone. Go back to the book of Genesis. It talks about how God formed man out of the clay of the earth. And then it says, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Jesus breathed over those apostles, sharing the very gift of his Spirit with them. But then it says, he said, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. Jesus had come on this earth to bestow the mercy of the Father. And now he was sending those apostles, those early disciples, to go out and be ambassadors of God's mercy. They were to go out not only to proclaim that God is merciful, but to be instruments of mercy. They were to forgive sins with the authority and the power of Christ Jesus himself. That was their mission, to bring the mercy of God into the world in which they lived. Now, I can imagine somebody arguing, well, if God really wanted us to obey him, why didn't he send them out to tell them about hell and how much they're going to get punished? And that might have been somewhat effective, but it would not have brought about love. And what God wants out of us more than anything is our love. And the way to bring about love in people's hearts is to touch them with mercy. And that is what Jesus sent those early disciples to do. To proclaim mercy, to bestow mercy, to bring about forgiveness. You know, if you think about the ministry of Jesus, just think about some of the really important stories in the gospel. Remember the story of the paralytic, who it was too crowded to get him into where Jesus was, so they take him up on the roof and run the roof and lower him down through the roof. And Jesus doesn't say, you're healed. First thing he says, your sins are forgiven. He wanted to bestow mercy. Think about the story of the woman caught in adultery. He says, has no one condemned you? Then neither do I. Go and sin no more. Think about the stories in chapter 15 of Luke's gospel. There's three of them. Story of the shepherd with 100 sheep who loses one. The story of the woman with 10 coins who loses one. And then the story of the prodigal son. And those first two stories, when the story is completed, Jesus says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who have no need of repentance. Again, Jesus wants to bring mercy. He wants to call us away from our sins. He wants to fill us with the life of our God. Sadly, the sacrament of penance has fallen on very hard times in the church today. Many Catholics say they've not been for years. And yet, that is the main way that Christ has given us to proclaim mercy. Why is it that we don't want to use it? Why is it that the very thing that we long for, to be forgiven, to be healed, to be treated with mercy, we turn away from? Yes, it's humbling to acknowledge our faults to another human person. Yet, humility is at the very heart of the spiritual life. If we're going to grow in holiness, we have to be humble. We have to let go of our pride. We need that humbling experience and knowledge that we really are sinners. And of course, once I acknowledge that I'm a sinner, then I also need to repent, to strive to change my life, to live in another way. The other part about that sacrament that is so helpful to us is that it makes us assess where we're at. You know, if I never stop and think, how am I doing? Am I growing closer to the Lord? Or am I moving further away? If we don't stop and think about that, there's not going to be much spiritual change going on. We have to assess our lives and ask ourselves, what direction am I moving? And then we need to humbly admit our need for the mercy of God. Now, this sacrament is Christ's gift to us. We need to find a way to restore it, to rediscover it in the church today. You know, the prayer of absolution, I'd like to read it to you. Even those of you who receive the sacrament may not have had a chance to focus on it. The priest says, God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace. And I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the priest says that, he is what the church calls acting in the person of Christ. And he's using, in a sense, the voice of Christ. It's the same thing when he consecrates the bread and wine. He says, this is my body. This is my blood. Again, speaking in the person of Jesus Christ, so that the power of the Spirit may bring about the effect that he had just spoken. Bread changed to his body, wine changed to his blood, sins forgiven. Through that ministry of the priest. Well, God wants more than anything to bestow mercy. Let us open our hearts to receive it.